You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Deputy Leader of the National Party, Nicola Willis.
Morena, also Finance Minister now. It's great to speak with you. First time we've had a kōrero with you since the new government. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
It's been a very busy couple of months. Lots of change, lots of massive announcements, big pieces of policy coming into effect. Probably fair to say it's been a lot of headlines that you guys have been writing out recently. But I want to start with something that that you have personally been doing in your capacity as the finance minister, which is attending this really interesting conference in Washington, D.C. with a lot of other important nations, United States, Canada, United Kingdom and Australia. What was the purpose of this conversation, and what did you feel like was the big takeaway from it for you, Nicola?
Yeah, look, that meeting, the five finance ministers meeting, is about getting that grouping of traditional friends and partners, New Zealand, Australia, the UK, the US and Canada, coming together and talking about economic risks and challenges we see in the world. And, you know, you saw it during COVID, when we had supply chains break down and countries had to take pretty extraordinary measures to get goods into their countries. We've seen it with conflict and war breaking out, that also has challenges for trade and for economy. So we were talking about what do we see on the horizon if things do go badly, how will we cooperate better together to minimise the effects on our people. So really important to have those relationships. And at the same time, that meeting was held during what's called the spring meetings of the IMF and the World Bank. So there were finance ministers from all over the world there. There was an opportunity to meet with them.
So with what we've seen kind of coming out, conversations already, Australia has been particularly looking at global financial growth and also ensuring stable supply chains. Those were some of the key issues they brought to the table. Are they reflective of our position as well, as being, I guess, quite a related country in a lot of ways?
Yes, exactly. I mean, New Zealand, like Australia, we rely hugely on trade in order for our economy to function. Around one in four jobs in New Zealand depend on trade, about a quarter of our economic output. So Australia is looking at those issues to do with security of supply chains and has got lots of wisdom and experience and knowledge to bring to the table. And it's great for us to be able to share in that because obviously a lot of the challenges are shared.
And we are seeing massive instability at the moment, particularly with potential escalations happening in the Middle East right now. What were the conversations related to that in terms of how it might impact our, you know, financial routes and trade relationships?
Yeah, well, look, we do think about, A, what disruption can occur to shipping lanes, because if you think about the Red Sea example, one of the challenges there was that ships were having to divert and take different routes, which took a lot longer, which means it takes longer to get things from one country to another. And then, of course, there's also the effect that huge war and conflict, which none of us want to see because of the impact on human life and well-being, also has effects often on the availability of goods. So you saw when Russia invaded Ukraine, it had that energy crisis in Europe because it cut off access to gas for many of those countries. So there's an opportunity to reflect on, well, as these conflicts occur, what are the risks to key products, key supply chains? How can we mitigate that? What can we do to make sure that we're keeping our countries as resilient as possible?
You just mentioned the IMF, which for those who maybe don't know is the International Monetary Fund. You met with representatives from the IMF at these meetings. They have been cautioning your government that tax cuts can be inflationary and that they can encourage higher consumer spending at a time when your particular government, Nicola, is trying to get inflation down. Did tax cuts come up with the IMF at your meeting?
No, what the International Monetary Fund has previously said is that they think it's important that tax reduction is fiscally neutral, which is to say that tax reduction needs to be paid for, it needs to be funded through reprioritising money that might have been spent elsewhere. That's exactly what we are doing in New Zealand. There have been countries around the world who have proposed significant tax reduction but haven't identified the funding to support that. We're quite different. The tax plan that we proceeding with is based on reprioritising money from elsewhere in government, because we see the biggest priority right now as being ensuring that New Zealanders who've had a really tough time with the cost of living crisis having a little bit more money to deal with the challenges in their own lives.
We are seeing, though, a lot of critics of your tax cut plan saying it's actually very small when it comes to people's, you know, individual lives and family lives. It's not going to make much of a difference to many individuals. How do you respond to that? That's been quite an ongoing criticism of this policy.
Well, I respond to that by saying, actually, if you're a family or an individual who every week or fortnight is struggling to get the money together for basic things, then a small amount of relief can make a big difference. We're talking about families being able to buy some yogurt for their kids. We've been talking about families who might be able to afford swimming lessons again for their children. We're talking about people being able to do things like buy another loaf of bread. And actually, yes, those are small things, but small things can make a big difference to people's quality of life. And I think that ensuring that people have a little bit more financial freedom is one of the best things we can do as a government.
Now, not strictly in this same conversation, but hard to not see them as related at the moment. There has been much discussion about the, you know, the big cuts we're seeing to the public sector at the moment. That's going to materially impact a lot of people's lives. And where are they going to go for support for this, Nicola? Because there's not necessarily jobs readily available for them. What is the discussion that your government and also your portfolio as finance minister is having around this massive readjustment to the public sector that we're seeing at the moment?
Well, what we're doing is what we said we'd do in government, which is that we are rebalancing some of the massive cost that has built up in back office roles in the public service, which have grown by 18,500 in the past 6 years. And we are reducing some of those roles. At the same time, our budget will be creating significant numbers of new roles, but in more frontline areas, for example, corrections officers, police officers, health workers. So overall, we will actually be creating more roles through the budget in the economy, but there'll be different kinds of roles.
They will be different kinds of roles, but how are we expecting, you know, those back office roles, you know, it's a very broad catch-all for what that work is. As everybody is aware, you know, some of those roles are very administrative, and then some of those roles are very administrative in a way that actually directly affects those frontline spaces as well. But we're not necessarily expecting some of those people who've been working in administration to then switch into being a frontline officer, for example. So what is the support that's being predicted or wrapped around for people moving out of that space?
Well, we've ensured that all of the government agencies that are going through change processes, that are consulting on changes to their structure and their roles, are making available to their employees individual counselling support through the IAP service, and that they are providing them good advice. I expect that some of those people will go and find other roles in the community. Some of them may redeploy to frontline roles, but I think that you have to put this in context, which is that in the past 6 months alone, 2,500 extra roles were created in the public service. We've seen the public service growing at a rate far in excess of growth that we've seen elsewhere in the economy, and we think it's important to get the balance right.
Speaking of the balance, the budget is going to be a really massive thing this year. Without obviously forcing your hand on what it's going to be in it at the moment, Nicola, what priorities can people expect to see your government focusing on and your portfolio focusing on at this time?
Well, priority for us is making sure that we are addressing the cost of living crisis through ensuring that there is some tax relief there, adjusting those tax thresholds that haven't been adjusted for 14 years. Also ensuring that where we put new funding and new resources, it's targeted to those frontline services. So ensuring that we're giving a funding boost to our schools, to our hospitals, to our police. Those are real priorities for us. And then we do have important work to do to get the New Zealand books, the government finances, back in order. We've come through a long period where we've been spending more than we've been earning as a country, and we're starting the process to consolidate that and get us back into an even keel.
I'm sorry, we're losing your connection a wee bit, Nicola, but I think the gist is coming across, which is really important, so thank you for that. Just before we let you go as well, there's another big headline that, you know, people have been noticing a lot, which is this fast-track consent bill, which is causing a bit of concern about perhaps the amount of power being given to three ministers. Are you personally confident and comfortable with the way this bill is sitting? Do you have any concerns or hesitations about it?
Well, look, I think this bill is really important because too many projects in New Zealand in recent times have been held up through really complicated consenting and permitting processes. And these are projects that are actually often really good for our environment, like wind farms, like solar farms, which can spend years in a consenting process. And for our country to rise to some of the challenges it has, whether that's ensuring that people have better transport, whether that's ensuring that we can switch to renewable energy, we need to get faster at giving permission for those projects. So the way that this bill is set up, it does allow for the expert panel to provide really good detailed guidance and advice on what mitigations need to be taken to protect the environment, and those considerations are there in the bill. But actually, ultimately, it's about cutting through the red tape and getting things done faster.
Are you confident that some of those perhaps less altruistic projects, or ones that sound less nice like wind farms, but perhaps coal mines and stuff, are not going to be the focus of what this portfolio, new bill is perhaps going to support?
Well, the actual final list of projects will be determined by A, those recommendations of ministers, and B, the advice of the expert panel. So I can't, you know, confirm for you today what that mix of projects are. What I do know about the New Zealand economy is that if we want this to be a successful country where people have good incomes, we're going to need to build more transport infrastructure. We're going to need to build more firms that are capable of producing really high-paying jobs, of exporting things that are valued to the world. And those are the sorts of projects that I would expect to get fast-track treatment through this legislation.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Nicola. It's been fantastic to have you back on the show in your role as Finance Minister and, of course, as Deputy Leader of the National Party. We love speaking with you, and we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks' time. Take care.
Thanks so much. Great to be back on the show.
Kia ora.
That was What's Up with Deputy Leader of the National Party, Nicola Willis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.